Well, good morning to you all, and welcome to our service this morning. You're all equally welcome, but you're especially welcome if you're a visitor. At the end of the service, there's the opportunity, if you're free to do so, to come through to the hall and have a cup of tea or coffee and a chat with us. You may have noticed we've got quite a number of paper boats out on the front here on the font and on the ledge. These were made during Connect this morning. We were looking at Paul and his journeys, and the person who was leading Connect, Susan, was getting us all to make paper boats to remind us of some of Saul's hazardous journeys on his missionary travels. Notices are on the bulletin. I think the only thing I want to draw your attention particularly to is the first one about hearing in the church. We have had one or two comments that people have been experiencing difficulties. So if you've been experiencing difficulty hearing, or if you know somebody who has been experiencing difficulty, please speak to one of the elders and we'll see if there's anything that can be done about that. We want you to be able to hear what's happening. Thank you very much. Thank you. Okay, I don't know if you caught that, but the Christian Aid meeting, which is St Margaret's Hall on the 12th of February, that's a weekend Wednesday, it's at 7 o'clock, not 7:30, okay? So if you want to come along and join in that and thinking ideas about Christian Aid Week, it's 7 o'clock, a weekend Wednesday. Thanks.
Good morning. It's always lovely to be here with you and worship together. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world, and therefore no follower of Jesus would ever be in the darkness. Although we feel like it, no darkness can ever keep him out. Therefore, I invite you to join me with the call of worship this morning. When you are at the end of your rope, when you feel you have lost what is most dear to you, when you are content with just who you are, when you have worked up a good appetite for God, when you care, know yourself to be blessed. We gather in this place, we gather in the quiet, we gather to learn, we gather in praise. Amen. I greet you in the name of the Father, our Creator, the Son, our Savior, through the work of His Holy Spirit, peace, mercy, be unto you in abundance. Amen. Let's greet the Lord back with our first hymn, All Heaven Declares.
Thank you.
To our visitors, you are more than welcome. I usually wonder when I go to a new church or in a new setting, what is the practice and what is the traditions? Because sometimes you could feel quite alienated when you don't know the things or how it's done. And this morning, just to lead you, there's nothing strange. We know it by now. So I will start leading us into prayer, and then you will automatically hear when we join in as a congregation saying the Lord's Prayer together. Let us pray. God of light and revelation, as the darkness of winter gives way to the hope and renewal of spring, we praise you for the beauty of the earth around us, for hilltop and sanctuary, for ocean bed and landscape. We give you thanks and praise. Lord Jesus, may your light shine upon us this day as we gather to lift our hearts and voices in praise and open our ears to your word and offer our very selves in service. Inspiring and challenging Holy Spirit, be with us in this place, but also when we go home, be there with us. Fill us with your love and peace so that we share these gifts with all and with each other. And therefore, Jesus, hear us when we pray as you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I know we had Connect this morning, or I was late and I actually forgot about Connect. So apologies for that. But I don't see any other youngsters apart from Willie's granddaughter. Yes, what's her name? Thea. Oh, great. Hello, Thea. Not interested. Blocks are more of interest. So this morning, if it was possible for a children's address, I would have liked to bring in some of the wonderful stars I saw this past week during the night. It was wonderful. I don't know who of you went outside. It was really beautiful. So, did you see some of them, Tom? Beautiful, really. We had quite bright skies early in the morning. And I would have liked to bring in a tree this morning, but all I could bring was an onion. And I was thinking, so if it's all right with you, you don't have much of a choice this morning. Keep with me. Stay on the boat. I'm quite inspired this morning to celebrate creation, who we are. We know who we are in Christ, saved children. But where we are in nature, and what do we think about nature and creation? And I know you correct me all the time. Please correct me again. So in our English, we say creation. But it's creation. Creation. All right, I'll do my best. Created and creation. All right, great. If I have this onion, what do we do with an onion? What's the attribute of an onion apart from giving us a good cry when we... For eating. It spice up, or not spice up, it gives a good flavor to our foods. If we had children this morning, obviously they wouldn't be that fond of an onion. But a banana would be something better. And I really like bananas. You could use it in many different ways, in fruit salads, which is quite different to an onion, obviously. And then we have tomatoes. Is that the pronunciation? It sounds like our Afrikaans pronunciation. But what got to me this week again was not only the tomatoes, it was this. Yes. And the wrapping. And therefore, I've said to you, bear with me. I'm not going to focus on wrapping and things. But you know, I went down to Edinburgh on Wednesday morning for a conference. And South Africans, it was a conference for African ministers and leaders. And South Africans do like to eat, I promise you. And if you go on the road, you've not even entered the train yet, and someone would ask, where's the food, you see? And it's usually covered in a lot of packaging. And we were having these fruit juices in the boxes. And my friend Hanneke took one. Leave her. She took a packet of these juice boxes out, and she said, would you open it for us? It was really a struggle to get to the box in the end, because you have this thick plastic wrapping outside, and then you get to the box, which is fine, and then you have another wrapping inside, covering those single boxes. Hey, show me. What's this? A boat. Yes. It's beautiful. Here you go. Thank you, dear. And then you have the straw with another. And I thought to myself, having everything in my hand, there's more packaging than there's juice in this little box. And I was, oh, another one. This is wonderful. Who made this? Don't you know? Well, this is actually fitting in with us, because this was created by someone and the children, and that's our focus of this morning, and being part of creation. Thank you, Welly. Thank you, Thea. Here you go. I was asking myself, four more boats to go. I was asking myself, where's everything going? Asking myself again, how do I operate in my house? What do I do in terms of recycling? How do I eat? What do I buy? How is it packaged? How do I live within society? And therefore, this morning, it's not only the focus of that, it's also the focus of being created in God's image. How do I package myself to the world outside, to the people outside? I'm going to do a prayer, and then we sing our next theme. Thank you, Laura. Lord, although we don't have many children this morning, we have Thea this morning, and showing us little boats created by other children. And in that, I see that you are our creator, giving us creativity, giving us skills, giving us the knowledge to go about with the gift of life. And therefore, it's my prayer that you will help us, forgive us when we struggle and do things that's not eco-friendly, but help us in our way of life every day, in our homes, in our lifestyle, to think of what you gave to us. Planet Earth, the environment, and fellow human beings. And bless us as blessed ones living in this given gift. We pray this in your name and ask your forgiveness for the times that we really fail you. But thank you, Jesus, that you really forgive us and love us. We pray this in your name as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
The reading this morning is Genesis chapter 2, beginning at verse 4, and it's found on page 4 of the Pew Bibles if you want to follow it. It's entitled Adam and Eve. This is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created. When the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, and no shrub of the field had appeared on the earth, and no plant of the field had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not yet sent rain upon the earth, and there was no man to work the ground. But streams came up from the earth and watered the whole surface of the ground. The Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Now the Lord God planted a garden in the east, in Eden, and there he put the man he had formed. And the Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. A river watering the garden flowed from Eden. From there it was separated into four headwaters. The name of the first is Pishon. It winds through the entire land of Havilah, where there is gold. The gold of that land is good. Aromatic resin and onyx are also there. The name of the second river is Gihon. It winds through the entire land of Cush. The name of the third river is the Tigris. It runs along the east side of Ashur. And the fourth river is the Euphrates. The Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to work and to take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat that, you will surely die." The Lord God said, "It's not good for man to be alone. I'll make a helper suitable for him." Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the beasts of the field and the birds of the air. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. The second reading is Psalm 19. Excuse me. This is on page 552 of your Pew Bibles. Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech, and night after night they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens he has pitched a tent for the sun, which is like a bridegroom entering forth from his pavilion, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other, and nothing is hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the comb. By them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgression. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer.
Thank you, Alistair. All glory to God for his word. And when we think of Psalm 19, it's clear, stating the heavens and actually the whole universe proclaims the glory of God without even using words. And when we think of Romans chapter 1, verse 20, it also explains, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Now, this is a very good example of the theological argument for the existence of God. It is the understanding that there must be a purposeful intelligence behind everything. Well, this is my argument, and I think a lot of other Christians' arguments as well, saying that we can go to different theories, and it's not the place to do that this morning. But I do believe that if we think of God, it is the God of the word, logos, and of logic. And that is the God which drives me, because I'm not perfect. And I think I'll fail some theories of survival of the fittest or things like that. Just a thought. Now, maybe you know of him or of his preaching. It's a American pastor, which I'm not always fond of. He's okay. And I'm not fond of all South African pastors as well. His name is Louis Giglio. And maybe you've seen some of his works. So Louis has a passion for explaining God to people in his own way by using nature. He believes, obviously, in the Word of God, and he uses the Bible as the Word of God. But together with that, he also used different scenes from nature. Whether it be microcosmos, how we are physically created with ourselves, or the macrocosmos. And this morning, I brought one of his video clips with to show you, and I need to explain some of it, because sometimes I struggle. I know you struggle with my accent, but sometimes I do struggle with an American accent to hear it. So Louis and one of his friends, which was someone that worked for NASA, did some projects where they recorded some sounds in the universe, recording some stars and some planets, and in this video clip, also the sound of a whale. And just to illustrate that Psalm 19 is really what it says and claims to be, that there are joy and the planets rejoices, the glory of our wonderful God. So he's going to try to explain it, and I hope you could see, maybe we could switch the light off just now. But I want you to listen to what's happening. The first thing he's going to show us is a star that, this is my paraphrasing of it, which fell into itself, but it is creating a certain pulse, a certain sound, and you will hear that. And the second picture he will show us is, I think, of 12 different stars, which also create a sound of their own when they've recorded this. And then the third one is a star which, or a planet that revolves around itself with a slower sound. And then he combines it. As I said, I think that's the reason I'm explaining it, because I had to watch it a few times initially. And then he combines these sounds, and he just tells us, just hear what God created, and then the wonderful sound within it. Bear with me. Where's this one? Blank screen, open. Thank you. Okay, now why is there no sound now?
happening because stars don't just shine, stars also sing. Let me just show you a couple more stars. This one is called the Vela Pulsar, and it's magnificent. It's 1,000 light years away. It's a highly magnetized neutron star. Right. It simply means this star exploded into a supernova, and in the case of the Vela Pulsar, it collapsed back on itself in a magnetic entity, and as a pulsar, it began oscillating on its axis. This one oscillates 11 times a second on its axis. And as it is oscillating, you can see what's happening. It's shooting a radio frequency out of itself. When they aimed the radio telescopes at the Vela Pulsar, this is what they heard. And this is what this guy does 24/7, day and night, 365 days a year. This is what, from 1,000 light years away, the Vela Pulsar sounds like right now. This is it. Listen to this. You're like, well, what does it mean? I don't know. Is that some kind of Morse code for something? Or what is all that mean? I don't know what it means, but I don't want to, you know, go too crazy here. But maybe the Vela Pulsar got wind somehow innately of Psalm 148, verse 3, and says, it says, praise him, sun and moon, and all you shining stars. We're a shining star. We should praise him. Well, how are we going to praise him? I know. Let's oscillate 11 times a second on our axis and see if we can send a radio signal into the universe that would join in the symphony of God's praise from all creation. It's singing. The stars are singing to him. I recently stumbled on 47 Tuck. It's a beautiful cluster of stars. Let's show you the picture of it here. There are 12 of these super giant blue stars in there, but the things that are of interest to us tonight are these millisecond pulsars. And right now, tonight, while we're sitting in this room, the 16 recorded millisecond pulsars and 47 Tuck are making this sound right now. His own string section. He's beautiful. And we just looked at one 11 times a second pulsar and 16 millisecond pulsars, and you start seeing Psalm 48 come to life. But look down at verse 7. It says, praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures in all deeps. The whale songs could sound like this right here. Take a listen. We don't know the expanse of the worship that is continually surrounding the throne of God. And our songs are great, but God isn't banking on our songs because he is surrounded by a symphony that's bigger than our wildest dreams tonight. Stars sing and whales sing and the birds fly. And I just tried to imagine what would it sound like if you could just for a second be God and hear what he hears. I can't get us there tonight, but I came close. I had a friend who helped me with this little iPad program, and I'm not a DJ, but I just a little thing, just quickly, and I want you to see how this works. For this guy, we didn't look at his picture. He's PSR BO329-54. And he's only rotating 1.5 times per second, which is not all that much, but we need him in our little experiment we're going to do here, okay? And then we had the Vela Pulsar. You remember the Vela Pulsar, right? So that's that guy. That's a little too fast for what we're trying to do, so we're going to slow that down, okay?
All right, something different. Could you, could you hear the sound? Could you not? Yeah, something totally different. And as I said, I was asking myself the week, actually getting back onto the train, and we've passed some areas where I thought, oh, the pollution is quite bad next to the tracks. Asking myself, where am I in this story or this chapter of life and of creation? And therefore this morning, again, a bit focused on the accounts in Genesis 2 and Genesis 1 on the creation. And if you don't know it by now, then it's a nice surprise, is when we read both Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, we have two accounts for creation. The second one we had this morning, which in the one sense flusters your brain when you think, what's going on? Why do we have two stories or episodes or accounts for creation just following each other? And if we need to compare them, in fact, it looks like they are not the same because the order differs. What is wrong with this text? Is it conflicting each other or not? And then I ask myself, and I'm going to have it on the board, some of the information. And as I said, just keep with me. Get onto the boat or get your life jackets and hang on. If we go to the Bible, then I usually tell myself, remember to ask the two questions. Is what does this text tell me about God? And what does it tell me about humanity or humans? Whether it be good or bad relationships, there's also something to find out. And now this morning, maybe this is also new to you. And this is not, no intention to rock the boat or throw you out of the boat. Is when we look at Genesis, Genesis, and we have different theologians with us this morning as well. The book of Genesis is the first book in our Bible, and that is how we know it in our library of books. But it's not necessarily the oldest text in the Bible that we also know. It's not the oldest. So why is it that it finds its way first, or its first book in the Bible? When we think of the folk of Israel, when they were in exile, they were thinking and wondering, what happened to us that we came into such a place or such a state? Why is where we are what's happening to us, why is it so bad? It's like having a bit of depression. And I think a lot of us had bad stages in our lives where you ask this basic question, how did I end up being here? And therefore, and this is just a very easy way of explaining it, and therefore they sat down with each other, the family sat down and asked themselves, so what happened? Where did it all begin? Where did it all start? And they thought of all the oral traditions, all the stories, all the accounts that they knew over the years and years that were passed on to them, and they started writing it down. And therefore, we get a book like Genesis explaining certain of the older stories of creation, making sense of things. Now, when you hear this, it comes maybe as a shock, but let me demonstrate it. If I would ask you this morning to tell me the story of Little Red Riding Hood, all right? Let's try this. All right, who's going to begin the story? There was a little girl called Red Riding Hood, and she lived with a grandmother, all right, with a mother, an aunt, all right, with an aunt, with a mother, all right, great. What happened next? Her mother or her aunt said, you should go and visit Granny. Great, your grandmother, all right. And then what happened next? I think my story had a basket in it, all right? What? All right, some had a cooler bag, it depends on which. All right? So in the South African version, we pack some boiled eggs in it. What is the Scottish version? What do you have in your basket? Scotch egg, all right. Obviously, why not? And then what happens next? She's sent to grandmother or the grandma. But there's something happening there. There's a there's a wolf, all right, there's a wolf, and there's a warning. Yes, there's a warning. Don't go off and speak to strangers and keep to the road or whatever. And we know the rest of the story. She gets to Grand... Oh, no. She first meets the wolf and he gets her off the road. And then she ends up in the end at grandma's house. And sometimes the wolf eats the grandma. Sometimes grandma's hidden in the cupboard. What have you. All right. I'm asking you this now. So what is the importance of the story? Is it whether she had a red raincoat on or a normal red jacket? Is that the gist of the story? Is it the Scotch eggs or the boiled South African eggs? No. So the gist of the story is, the moral of the story would be, stay to the known pathways. Don't talk to strangers. So we have gists in that. And that's an oral tradition. And if we, sorry, I'm taking very long this morning. And if we go to Genesis, I know you're watching the time. If we go to Genesis, we see it's an oral tradition. It's not a scientific book. It's not a historical accurate book. But it bears witness of God. And when I read both these accounts of Genesis 2 and Genesis chapter 1, let me just get to the laptop quickly. They do differ a bit. If we see, this is Genesis 1. We didn't read it this morning. In the beginning, heavens and earth is created. And it's very interesting that the first chapter of Genesis starts out with heavens and earth. It starts out with the cosmos. It starts out with heavens and the sky and planets. And it's extravagant. But when we read the second chapter, and I'm summarizing everything due to our time this morning, but it's still a lot of time, don't you worry. The second chapter of Genesis, the second episode of or account of creation, it's different. There we hear at the end of Genesis 2 verse 4 that the earth is now created first and not the heavens. But I'll get to it. It's wonderful what's happening here. And then we hear day one, light, darkness, and time, morning and day. Day two, clouds and skies. Day three, green grass, flowers, and trees. Four, sun, moon, and stars, birds and fish the fifth day. Sixth day, animals and man. And then the Sabbath or the resting day, day seven. Now, there's some differences between Genesis 1 and Genesis 2. Heaven and earth. Earth and heaven, actually, not heaven and earth. Land and water, and then we hear, oh, but there's plants and herbs in Genesis 2, grass, herbs, and trees then, and then only man is created in the second chapter of Genesis. Genesis 1, stars, sun, moon, and then same trees, fish and fowl, rivers, animals, man and woman, and only woman. And the end. Oof, it's just like, what's happening here? Am I still understanding what's going on? There may be a better explanation. 6 days, it's chronological. In Genesis 1, Genesis 2, it's described as the generations of heavens and earth. Am I on the, it's on. Dark, watery chaos, it's an oasis. And then we hear the sequence in Genesis 1, light, firmament, dry land, plants, light in the sky, sea creatures, land, animals, humans, male and female. Genesis 2, man is created, then only comes the garden, the trees and the river, land, animals and birds, and then at the end, a fitting helper, the woman. So what is happening here? It's strange, it's peculiar, it's odd, but it's wonderful. What do I learn from God and what do I learn from humanity? The first thing in the first chapter is that God is described in the first word that we find in the Hebrew called Elohim. And Elohim would be a meaning of a sovereign God, a God that reigns, and therefore it starts out with this heavens and earth, the expansion. God of order, God of structure, God reigning over everything. But when we go to chapter 2, the writer or the editor of the text took a different word and he uses Elohim, Yahweh, which speaks of an immanent God, A God that doesn't only create from a distance, but a God that walks amongst the people. In fact, when we go to Genesis 2 and go read it again, we hear that it's actually a kind of, it's not said like that, but it's kind of a creator like a potter. And he walks with mankind in the garden. And he breathes life into man, where the first one, it's spoken word. And I ask myself, how brilliant. Is this not a direction unto the future of who we are in Christ as well? God that sends his son to us, he's the one that makes the choice coming to us. And then he walks with us, sharing life with us, knowing my life, knowing who I am. The creator God being not only one type of God, but a God of all places and spaces. Are you still with me? All right. All right, I'm glad. And it's not written to confuse us all and us this morning. It's actually to confirm who we are. And if I go to both of these accounts and go read it again at your home, and I know we'll have different opinions sitting here as well today, we can converse on that. Ask yourself, what is my responsibility then? Am I created in the image of God? For sure, that's part of the account. And what is my responsibility? Yes, naming animals, we hear that, caring for what I've been given, caring for what I have. I mean, we can buy this. We can buy these things, but it's God who gave it to us. It's God who gave the creativity for people through ages and ages to form material and have clothing on. It's wonderful to have the food on our tables and the onions which gives flavor, etc. But it's God who gave the knowledge to farmers, giving it us on our table. And I think to myself, and how do I go about with this? How do I think about this? I mentioned that I've watched the stars. I want to ask you this week not only to think about the way you recycle, think about the way you buy. And sometimes the bio products are more expensive. I know that that's not my intention. But just think how we do go about with things. And I want to dare you again to open your window, maybe 3 o'clock in the morning, if you're awake. It's not stress that I don't know, this past week it's 3 o'clock sharp. I don't know, is someone yelling that down Robertson Road at the back, or 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm awake, and the past week I've slept with the window open. Beautiful, I don't know what your night owl called. Beautiful. Beautiful. Looking out of the window, seeing the stars, and just think, this is a magnificent gift, God. Thank you for this. It reminds me that I am nothing, but I'm also everything. And I'll end with this. My Old Testament professor said, if we have a look at Genesis again, let me just, I told you that. If we have a look at the build-up of Genesis, he said it's actually, when you look at Genesis 1, a build-up from the bottom, coming up, and at the top, it's, in Genesis 1, it's man that's created. Wonderful. And we can claim it for ourselves. It's I'm in charge. But then the Old Testament professor said, I'll just remind you, there's Genesis 2 as well. Because, yes, man is in the beginning, but everything else goes by itself. So don't think you're at the top. Sometimes you could be at the bottom as well. And I could take you out of it, because I am God and I'm the creator. Maybe it's a lot this morning, but I hope it made you think of who we are and where we live in. That we are nothing, but we are also everything as the image of God. But we are not God. Obviously, we are not that. And may you celebrate this in this coming week, in the way you look at nature, but also the way you live within your household. Amen. Lord, thank you for your word, and sometimes it could be strange or written in a peculiar way, but thank you for you, Holy Spirit, guiding us, helping us to understand, giving us knowledge and tools, and maybe we get it wrong from time to time. I also ask you to be not only the editor of life, but be the editor of the words within our hearts and our thoughts. And after all, God, all praises be unto you. We want to sing with the universe, how great is our God. Over everything you rule over us, and you give us the responsibility, stewardship, to rule and to care for nature, for ourselves, for what you've given us. And therefore, it's my prayer that you may guide us, Holy Spirit, to rethink the way we live, the way we use electricity, the way we go about, just the normal, simple ways of life, because it's a gift, and a gift unto others. Guide us through your word, through prayer, through fellowship, so that we may discover more and more of you. We pray this in your name as Father, as Son, and as Holy Spirit. Amen. A wonderful hymn. Can we only sing the first verse due to time? How great thou art. Yes. What? Okay, we can do yes. Well, Laura said we'll take the offering and then we sing everything. Laura, what? Is that fine? All right. We'll take the offering while we sing the whole hymn. Wonderful hymn. No explanation needed.
Oh Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all I hear the rolling thunder, yeah, I hear the sound, the universe displayed. Is my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art.
Thank you, Lord, that you give gifts to us and accept our offering this morning. May it work within your kingdom and to reach others that need to hear of you and experience you in different ways. We pray this in your name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you, Andy. While you walk up, I forgot something. I said the first one starts with heavens, but the second one starts with earth, saying, and so God is not only a God away from us, but a God here with us. Wonderful, hey, how the editor did it. Thank you, Andy.
Our prayers for the future of the church and our prayers for others are focusing on change. I remember something that really confused me as a child. One of the first things was being taught how to walk and talk, and then being taught how to sit down and shut up. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, in our prayers for others today, we think of individuals, groups, and nations who are going through periods of change, whether physical, psychological, political, or spiritual. Be with those who are finding this time of change difficult to cope with, either because it affects them directly or because it affects those who they love. We pray for individuals and families who are experiencing change because of changes in their own health or the loss of a loved one or due to an addition to the family group or because of strained relationships. Guide those who are helping them to find the right words and actions that can be of lasting benefit. We pray for those who are having to cope with changes at school or at work or within their countries that are causing them to worry about what the future may bring. In particular, we pray for those who have been affected by the coronavirus because of death, illness, or the fear of what the virus may do. Give wisdom to those who are trying to positively assist those who feel most affected in a negative way because of changes that they have little control over. We pray for those who have difficult decisions to make about new opportunities that may radically change the trajectory that their life is heading on, and the lives of those who they connect with. May they look to your Holy Spirit for guidance and grant them comfort that the choice that they will make is the right one for them and for those who will be affected by their decisions. And we pray, Lord, for the future of our church, not only here in Salou, but at presbytery level and nationally for the Church of Scotland. This is a time of change, and some of it, we are told, will be radical. We pray that any changes in personnel, structure, and organization will be guided by you at all levels from start to finish, and that decisions made will help your church in Salou, in Moray, and across Scotland to serve you and your children better. And although things made of human hands and human hearts will always be open to change, we give thanks that you, the God who we know and worship, does not change. You, Almighty God, are the same as you have always been, are now, and will be in the future. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Help us to make Christ the anchor that will keep us steadfast and sure in our Saviour's love, no matter the changes that affect our lives. We offer these prayers in the name of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, whose grace will always be there for us. Amen.
Thank you, Andy. Thank you, Andy. And with Andy's prayers, let's sing our closing hymn, saying, Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart.
Be thou my vision.
The Lord bless us. The peace of God the Father be with you. The peace of Christ be with you. The peace of the Holy Spirit be with you, with your children and your family, for an hour, forever, and for eternity. Amen.